Welcome to 'Cause We're Nerds, the podcast that covers trends and releases in comics, movies, video games, board games, and much more. I'm your host, Caleb, and with me is my brother, Jacob.
Hey, everybody.
Today, we're talking The Mandalorian, the first live-action Star Wars series ever. Does it live up to the hype? Find out on this week's episode of 'Cause We're Nerds. Jacob, we're finally here after waiting years and 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 what seems like an eternity, starting with a long, long time ago. We have...
In a galaxy far away?
In a galaxy far, far away, we finally have the first live-action Star Wars series.
Indeed we do, Caleb.
Now, I don't know if you know, Jacob, but this has been something that has been gestating for a long time. Definitely at least since The Phantom Menace back in 99, maybe even before that, but they had like over 100 scripts written for a live-action Star Wars series, and they were just waiting for the right circumstances to come along and get it done.
Wow, I actually did not know that.
Yeah, and it's interesting that what we finally got, I don't think has anything to do with those original scripts. You know, when Disney bought Star Wars from George Lucas, they took a lot of his ideas and just kind of scrapped them. And I guess they did that with those scripts as well. I don't know if maybe they'll come back in some other form, but The Mandalorian seems to be like its own self-contained thing.
Yes, yeah, it's very different from the rest of the Star Wars that we've seen so far too.
It is and it isn't. But we'll get into that. So we're going to talk The Mandalorian. We're also going to talk a little bit of Disney Plus overall. But we are going to go full spoilers right off the bat because, look, if you haven't watched it by now, I don't think listening to this is going to change your mind. And if you're going to watch it, you've probably already seen it at this point.
Yeah, so and if you haven't, go ahead and go see it. Yeah, go watch The Mandalorian right now.
Also, just stay off the internet. Very nice. Just stay Thank off you. The internet because you'll get super spoiled if you don't. So.
Oh, mega spoiled.
All right, Jacob. So I've seen the first two episodes. We're recording this on the Saturday after the launch of Disney Plus. So it launched with episode one on Tuesday. Episode two came out Friday. I'm sorry, this isn't Saturday. This is Sunday. So we're recording the Sunday of that week. I've seen both the first two episodes. What about you?
I have also seen both of the first two episodes.
All right. What did you think kind of overall?
Big fan, honestly.
Yeah.
I like, you just want me to go into like what I liked about it?
Or I mean, just talk.
Okay. I can do that. I can do that. So yeah, I really liked this. It is to me, it has a different feel from most of the Star Wars live action things that we have seen. This one obviously is not focused on Jedis, like most of the properties are, with the exception of, you know, Rogue One, and Solo. However, you know, this one even feels a bit different from them. I really, really like it. I think it looks really good graphic-wise and costume-wise. I like the plot so far. And, I mean, Baby Yoda, you know? Like, yeah.
Yeah, you know, when I was explaining this to my friend Ward, I told him he's going to love it because it feels like a combination of original Star Wars and Rogue One. And what I mean by that is original Star Wars has a very, very specific feel. It is a very rundown universe, very dirty. It's got this very Western kind of vibe underlying everything. In fact, a lot of the original Star Wars does. It is loosely inspired by a lot of Western tropes, as well as fantasy, of course. But that has a feel. And then Rogue One came around, and it has a very similar feel to the original trilogy. It feels like you could slot it right in, but at the same time, it feels a bit different because you see more of the universe, you see more of the world. It's got a, not a dirtier kind of feel, but maybe a grimier kind of feel. Like, it's very similar to the originals, but not quite there. And this one feels like it's somewhere in the middle. It has a lot of stuff from original Star Wars. Like, a lot. Both actual things and things that have inspired it. But at the same time, it is updated like Rogue One was. So it feels kind of like the best of both worlds to me.
Yeah, I really like what they decided to do about this. Don't get me wrong, I love Jedis and Sith and, you know, the First Order, whatever. I love all that stuff. However, this is something that feels very fresh to me. I was watching it and I knew it was the Star Wars universe, and you could tell it was the Star Wars universe. However, I felt like I hadn't seen this before. It just has, I don't know, it's hard to explain how it's different. I think you did a pretty good job with kind of mixing it with Rogue One and Episode One, or the
not episode one.
The prequels, I know.
Episode four.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, yeah. The full Star Wars made. Sorry. You know, confusing, because that's how Star Wars likes to do it. But Episode four, the prequel. Yeah, I could totally see where you're coming from. I really like the subtleties, there we go, that they have about the past, you know, introducing that the bounty is coming from the old Sith, and there's some stormtroopers there. I really, really liked that. There's some other few callbacks that I like. I like how it's based on, you know, again, someone that doesn't have force powers, someone that's a Mandalorian. I think that's a really cool aspect. This is something that I've always wanted in a Star Wars video game. This feels very video gamey to me, you know, traveling around the universe. You have gunfights, but it's also like some exploring. There's some problem solving. This is the type of Star Wars game I want. But I'm glad that they brought it to not the big screen, but it feels like it's the big screen. I'm glad they brought it here because it's just such a unique story. And I'm a big fan. I'm excited to see where they're going with it. What do you think about the story so far?
All right. Well, before we get there, I just want to ask you a question.
Wow. You tell said... me to talk. I talk, and then you. Wow. How unbelievable.
You said the Sith are hiring him. Why do you say the Sith?
Okay. I don't think it's necessarily the Sith. I think, this is what I think. So, obviously, it's the remnants of the Empire. Now, they may not call themselves the Empire anymore. They may not be directly affiliated with the Empire anymore. However, the people that we've seen so far, I think that, and there's no basis for this really, but I think that there's a Sith involved. I think the Sith are kind of still around looking at, so this is based after episode 6 and before episode 7. So looking at everything and the story that we know is coming up in The Rise of Skywalker, I think that there's going to be Sith around. I think they're going to tie it all together still. I totally don't have any basis for that at all.
Okay.
However, having Baby Yoda in this, obviously he's not, we don't know if he's Baby Yoda, but that's what people are calling him, you know, because he looks like Baby Yoda. So having Baby Yoda in this, and again, spoilers for episode 1 and episode 2.
We've already said spoilers. Yeah, we are
I just want to make sure. seeing that he has the Force already, I think that they're going to introduce someone evil that also has that ability. So I could really see them, there being like a Sith behind this bounty going on. They're trying to finish the Emperor's, you know, episode 3. They're trying to finish wiping out everybody. I'm not saying it's necessarily the Emperor or anything, but I do think there's some Sith behind it. But that's just speculation.
Okay, yeah. So I don't want there to be a Sith or any connection to, like, the Rise of Skywalker or anything like that, because I like how self-contained this is. You mentioned that all the movies we'd seen up to now, except for Rogue One, followed a Jedi. Not only that, all the animated series as well that we've seen, it's only been in books that they've really explored this idea of a non-Jedi-centric thing. Again, aside from Rogue One, but Rogue One was directly connected to Episode 4. And so this is the first time we've really kind of stepped out completely from everything else and started a brand new story. And I like it. And I don't want them to tie it all together because that makes the universe feel small. You know, like,
that's true.
It's possible for things to go on that aren't related to the Sith or the Jedi.
That's true. I think it could be cool to have maybe not a Sith behind it, but one of the royal guards, you know. I'm kind of with you. I think there's someone bigger behind it, and part of me thinks it's a Sith. I don't necessarily want that to be what it is. I like the idea that, you know, these are not individuals that rely on the Force and like lightsabers. These are individuals that kind of have to outwit their opponents, you know, and I like that. I'm a big fan of that. So I don't really hope that there's a Sith. I don't know. I feel like there's going to be,
you know, the more I think about it though, I don't think that makes any sense because, so, I mean, we've talked about this for a while now without explaining. If you haven't seen it, they hire the Mandalorian to go get this thing. This thing ends up being a baby Yoda who can use the Force.
Which is 50 years old.
Which is 50 years old, right. But it's still a baby. So, yes. But when he's being hired, the guy that originally is talking to him says dead or alive, but the other guy that was there said, that's not what we agreed upon. He wants him alive only. And it seems like he's the one that's asked this other guy to help him. So I don't know why there would be a Sith connection there.
I see. I was thinking maybe, and I was thinking maybe that, you know, it was someone that was still loyal to the Emperor, even though he's, you know, supposedly dead. And I was thinking, why else would they give a bounty to catch or kill, you know, this species? Like, why else would it bother them? You know, if the Empire has fallen apart and these are just remnants, why are they still trying to deal with supposed, you know, Force users or anybody that had any affiliation with Force users?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that's part of the mystery of the show, right? Is why is this a thing? What's going on? Which is actually a really great segue into kind of my thoughts about the first two episodes. I loved the first episode. I thought the first episode was fantastic. It didn't drag. In fact, if anything, it was pretty fast. I thought the introductions were great. I remember talking on the podcast with someone, it might have been Zach, when the first trailer dropped, about the guy that gets caught in the door and whether or not they were actually going to like cut him in half. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they were going to. They did.
Yeah. No, they most definitely did.
Yeah, so it's a little bit more brutal than I expected, but I love that. I think that the visuals in the first episode hold up pretty well. It's all staged really well. It feels very Star Wars, and I really like that. And the thing with the first episode was there's this mystery, right? You don't know what he's going after. And they do this purposely. And through the entire episode, they kind of tease you. What is he going after? What is he going after? And when they do that, they typically, when you give a mystery like that, and you frame it in the way that they did, the revelation is something that you know. Because if it's not, then it didn't really matter that it was a mystery to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sitting there through the entire episode thinking, what could this be? Like, it's not going to be any of the big things from Star Wars, because that doesn't make any sense. And I was like kind of really trying to figure out what it was going to be. I had absolutely no idea that it was going to be one of Yoda's race, let alone a child.
Yeah, I thought this reveal was fantastic. And I love how they had, I don't remember the robot's name, but the robot bounty hunter.
IG-11.
I love how he was there, you know, he was trying to fulfill the contract and the Mandalorian stepped in. I think we've seen a lot about his character so far. It's only been two episodes, but I feel like I kind of know what he's, you know, what he's going for. I kind of feel like I know him personally more than I would, you know, some other shows only two episodes in. I feel like they've done a really, really good job of representing these different events, and you see how he reacts and you see the different decisions that he makes, and it kind of gives you a window into his mind and what he's thinking a little bit. But at the same time, he's so mysterious, and like, what is he going to do? You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Because there was the question of, obviously, he doesn't want this thing to die. obviously, unless he wouldn't be protecting it so much. But if he goes and he tones it in, because he talked about the guy that says, I have spoken, you know, he talked about he could still give him half of the reward. But if he does tone it in, doesn't he think that they might just kill it anyways? So, like, what? I feel like I know him and what he's doing, but at the same time, like, you don't. And I think that's why this is going so great for me. You have that level of mystery, like you said, but you also have that level of, you know, knowing them, obviously not personally, but you feel like you kind of really know these characters already. And so, like, what is he going to do? There's obviously going to be a confrontation with that. That's obviously where the episodes are heading. And I'm just really excited to see kind of how it pans out, because I've loved both the episodes so far.
Definitely. Now, I do want to take a second and talk about the Baby Yoda. Everybody's calling him Baby Yoda for a very specific reason. Yoda's race does not have a name in the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
I did know that, actually.
Did you also know that this is only the third of Yoda's species that we've seen in canon?
Yep, because we've seen Yoda, we've seen the female
Yaddle.
Yoda. Huh?
Her name is Yaddle.
Oh, Yaddle. And then we've seen this baby's name is going to be Yodel. It's going to be Yodel, Yaddle, and Yoda, right?
Right.
But I also saw something that was pretty interesting. And so they talked about, I don't know if this has any basis, right? It may be in the books. I don't know if it's in the movies. However, I was reading this article, and they were talking about how basically when Yoda was sworn in to the Jedi Order, right? And he kind of elevated to master where he was at. Apparently there's this oath that they have to swear not to have children. Did you know about this?
Yeah, like that's the whole conflict in the prequels, is they're not supposed to have relationships.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, I guess that's true. So, I wasn't thinking about it in terms of relationships. I was thinking about it strictly in terms of babies, but you're right. So someone was talking about, and obviously this is speculation because we don't know, but someone's like, when Yoda was sent off, you know, this could be Baby Yoda, you know, because we, like you said, we've only seen now three Yoda's races in canon. So, and wasn't there something about how a lot of Yoda's race was wiped out in the prequels?
No.
I feel like there was something. I could totally be wrong. Don't quote me on that. I'm not very good with the prequels, so I don't really know. But anyways, I personally don't think this is this baby's related to Yoda, personally. I mean, it wouldn't really matter if it was to me. But I thought, it's just such an interesting story. This is not what I thought they were going to do with the show.
Yeah, definitely. You
know? Like, well, this is not the route I thought they were going to take.
Yeah, and I didn't really know what route they were going to take. Well, I mean, I kind of thought he was going to be with a team of people, and I think that is going to end up happening. I thought that when he asked the guy to come along, that was going to be like the start of him building a team.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, he said no, so it's not. But in terms of Baby Yoda, I have a hot take here. I have a hot take. Yeah. And other people have probably said the same thing. I have not heard anyone say it. Also, I haven't been looking for people saying things about it. But I predict that this is a clone of Yoda.
Oh. Okay, how do you think they got his DNA?
All right, so in the books, and I don't know if this is still canon or if this was thrown out with Legends, I'm not really sure, but the Emperor, obviously you've got the clones from the Clone Wars, but the Emperor also cloned himself to do different things in some of those books. And I think that maybe this was an experiment that the Empire was working on, how they somehow got his DNA. I mean, he could have got his DNA from their fight back in episode 3, right? True. And he's been working to perfect it. And they finally cloned him. And although, let me think about this. They did say he was 50 years old, right?
Yes.
That might be right. I was trying to think if the timeline would fit. Like, between episode 3 and this, there's
about... No, that could definitely be right, because if you think about it, you know, Obi-Wan in the prequels is, what, 30, 40, something like that?
Yeah.
And then in episode 4 or 5, he's like I don't know, 70s maybe, well, there's, 60s? Well,
there's a 20 or 30 year gap between episode 3 and 4. So,
okay.
So yeah, so that could fit in because by the time you get to episode 6 plus the extra 5 or so years to this. Yeah, so it could be, and I don't know if he's actually 50, but roughly around 50, right? So that could be a clone that the Emperor was trying to build of from Yoda's DNA from their fight back in episode 3. And when the Empire collapsed, it just kind of got out there. I mean, the thing that he's in is very shiny. It looks very well kept. It doesn't really look like anything else that's in that bunker. It doesn't seem like it came from someone that didn't have much. You know, it seems like it was well taken care of.
You know, when I saw it, you know what I thought about, actually? Like out of all the Star Wars places we've seen, you know what place it reminded me of?
What's that?
It reminded me of Kamino, which would go with your theory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very kind of shite. Shite?
That's so funny. It's very shiny.
a little bit different there.
Is what I was trying to say. Wow, two very different things. Wow, how a few letters can change a whole sentence. Wow, okay. That was great. Some comedic relief. It's very shiny, kind of like everything in Kamino. And that would kind of go along with your theory because that's obviously, you know, where they would probably clone him. You know, because that's where all the cloning happened. Which would be really, really interesting because, you know, you had that fight with Obi-Wan and Boba Fett there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, so, okay. So, George Lucas, right, said that Boba Fett didn't die, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, the director of the show has come out and said that Boba Fett is not going to play a role in this show. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's misdirection. Okay? I personally think that at the very, very, very least, there's going to be a mention of Boba Fett. However, in episode 1, when the Mandalorian goes down to the bunker,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there's a figure. Yeah, there's a figure in the back.
Yep.
And he looks exactly like Boba Fett. And I mean exactly. I mean almost exactly the same. Color scheme is exactly the same. You know, it's identical. And it's hard to see because it's dark. However, if you paused it and you turn your brightness up a little bit. I've seen several people do this.
You don't even have to do that. I noticed it while I was watching it.
Yeah, yeah. But I've seen ones where people have like paused it and then turned their brightness up from then to get kind of like a better look at him. Mm-hmm. And they've done a side-by-side picture. And I mean, it's literally identical. And so I think it would be kind of cool to see Boba Fett in this. And I think it would be really cool to see a fight between Boba Fett and this Mandalorian. I think that'd be really cool. I mean, that's just me. I don't think you'd like that. It would tie it to the bigger Star Wars universe, which I don't know. You know, you had mentioned that you didn't really want that to happen. However, I think that allows it to still remain self-contained. It allows that small connection. However, that doesn't mean it relies on a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I would be okay if he made an appearance, but I don't want him around for more than like an episode.
Really?
Yeah, I think that takes away too much from this character. This character needs time to grow into his own. He doesn't need all these other larger-than-life characters that we already know around him, because that completely takes the focus away.
What if? I don't think this will happen, but... And you definitely would not like this. But what if we get to the end of the season, right? And in the very last episode, you find out that there is a big bad in this. However, it relates back to Solo and it's actually the surviving Darth Maul.
See, like those kinds of things I would be okay with because it's a known character and it's big, but it's also like kind of a side-ish character, right?
Mm-hmm.
That specifically won't happen because Maul is already dead in canon at this point.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he totally is.
Oh, because he died in the animated
Rebels.
Yeah. Yep. Which is stupid. I really wanted to see Disney Plus. If you're listening, go ahead and do a live action, you know, Darth Maul series. That'd be great. That'd be super cool.
Well, he could factor into the Obi-Wan series.
Mm. True. Which really, really quick, Ian McGregor, Wait, that's not his name.
Ewan.
Ewan?
Ewan.
What's his last name?
McGregor.
Is it?
Yeah.
I said that and then I thought of the boxer McGregor and I confused myself. Anyways, he's been saying for the past, like, you know, 10 years that there's going to be an Obi-Wan series, right? I don't know if you knew that.
Well, he hasn't said there's going to be one.
No, he most definitely has. Like, I watched an interview with him in it. So, he's been telling fans. Fans have been, like, asking if there's going to be, like, a series. This was long before, like, Disney Plus, you know, was mentioned and stuff. People asked if there was going to be a series with him in it. He said, oh, yeah. What one talks about it right now and stuff. And so, I was watching this interview, and he said, I'm so relieved that there's going to be an Obi-Wan series. He said, I've been telling fans for 10 years that there's going to be a series, and I only learned about it about 2 years ago. He said, I had no idea there was going to be one. He said, I was just really, really hoping, and I hate letting down fans.
Well, there's some theatricality there, too, because he's also said that he found out 4 years ago, and true, he's been having to keep his mouth shut about this.
It may have been 4 years ago that he said it. It was two or four. Anyways, the interview was really, really funny. That's what I was going for.
Anyway, getting back on track, I will say I really enjoyed the first episode. The second episode, one, I was very disappointed how much shorter it was than the first. I was also very disappointed to realize that the first one wasn't an hour because I thought it was. So that kind of double hit me when I realized the second one was only 30 minutes. And then I enjoy the second episode. I do. But it is not as good as the first because it does very little to further the story. It feels like the entire episode is really just an excuse to reveal that the Baby Yoda has the Force instead of doing other things and revealing that. Like I said, I still enjoyed it. It was still fun. But for the most part, you could cut almost that entire episode and come up with a different way that he finds out that Baby Yoda has the Force, and the series would be no different.
Yeah, I could see that. I enjoyed how they revealed it. That specific scene, you know, with him, maybe not him getting the egg, but with the monster, I liked that. But I agree. Most of the time, he's chasing after a ship, you know, and then, which I did think it was kind of a cool scene, him climbing up the Jawa's ship.
Oh, yeah, the Sandcrawler.
I really enjoyed that, and I liked how the Sandcrawler was in it. And then he gets to the very top and just gets stunned. I was like, wow, that sucks. Like, that really sucks.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, it was interesting because, like, we saw him just destroy stuff in the first episode. And then here in the second one, like, he's having some real struggles.
Yeah, I like how we've seen in his personality that he has an issue. He has an issue not dealing with things with violence. You know?
Yeah.
Like, he really wants to take these Jawas out. And one of my favorite things, whenever they're sitting there and they make him take all his guns out, you know, and he's like, no, this is my stuff. He's like, I'll show you. And he brings out his fire launch or whatever. And he brings it at them. And the Jawa looks at him like, are you kidding me? It's so funny.
Well, I mean, he's a Mandalorian. That's what he does.
Exactly. It was so funny.
Some of the CGI in maybe the second episode isn't as strong. Like, there's points definitely in both the first and the second episode that you can tell it's CG, but the rest of it's so good, and it's on a TV budget that I just don't care. I mean, it looks pretty good, but some shots aren't quite there. One thing I did really like, though, is I've always wondered, like, they're shooting lasers essentially at each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the armor blocks it, sometimes it doesn't. I don't understand how does that work. To see the inside of his armor and the fact that it's not just a plate of, like, metal, there's circuitry back there, makes so much more sense to me now, because there's probably some kind of circuitry to disperse that blast, and based on your circuitry determines how good your armor is, which is why things like that massive gun that he was firing at the end of the first episode can cut through things because it's way more powerful, and some smaller guns can't cut through things. And how that relates to the armor and the whole thing. Like, it made so much sense.
That's true. I'd always thought about it kind of like real guns. You know, you have different calibers of guns. Obviously, the higher caliber, the more armor it's going to pierce through. That's what I kind of always thought about it. And then I always thought, no matter what you have in real world or fantasy world, there's always going to be a weakness in armor. You know, whether it takes enough blast or enough shots to kind of dent through it and then finally break through, or whether it just be a spot where the armor is kind of not overlapped like the rest of it is, You know, maybe at like a joint or something. So, I mean, that's how I kind of took it. But the Soul Kits does make sense. Maybe it takes the energy from the blast and it disposes it through the armor, you know, like you said. And then if it hits near like an edge or something like that, there's not as much circuitry going on there to be able to disperse that energy. But that is cool. I did like that. I think I liked the Jawas looks. I don't know. When I first saw them, I thought their eyes were like a little weird, you know? It's almost like they were just like floating lights. And I know in the prequel, they're not exactly like that. That they're a little different.
They're not in the prequels, I don't think.
Yeah, they are.
Maybe in the background.
No, Luke trades with them.
Luke's not in the prequels.
I meant, sorry, Anakin. Anakin as a kid trades with them. Do you not remember that?
Trades with them where?
Wait, let me think about this. Prequels or the other ones? Wait, let me think this through.
Oh, no. I lied. Picked a guy that doesn't know anything about Star Wars.
I lied. I think... No, I'm pretty sure it's in the prequels. I'm going to look it up.
Just
going
to
kill me.
Describe it to me.
I don't remember exactly. All the Jawas...
I think they're in like the background, but they're not like in it.
Okay. Let's see. I said Jawas, not C-3PO. Google, you're so stupid. All right. Jawa Sandcrawler. Here we go. Let's look at this. Which episode is this in? This is in episode... Oh, this is in A New Hope. Yeah. Yeah, they're in it.
Jacob, that's not the prequels. And that's not Anakin. That's Luke.
Oh, wait.
And that's the first Star Wars. Just Star Wars. A New Hope.
Okay, so... Okay, I'm going to be honest here. When I was thinking prequels, I was just thinking older ones, but I know that the prequels are 1-3, and I just got confused for a second there. Mm-hmm. I promise you. I do know that.
Uh-huh.
I promise you, I do know that.
This kid doesn't know anything about Star Wars.
I was thinking, it's kind of confusing. You're probably a Star Trek fan, aren't you? Hey, beam me up, Scotty. You know what I'm saying? Fun fact, really quick tangent. Did you know that nowhere in all of Star Trek property does anyone say, beam me up, Scotty?
I have heard that before, and I don't distrust it necessarily, but at the same time, I've heard other people say that's not true, so...
So, I don't know for a fact, we talked about it in my intro to film class, kind of like how everybody thinks Darth Vader says, Luke, I am your father, but he doesn't.
Right.
You know, kind of like one of those things. And yep. Anywho... The Star Wars universe is confusing. Everybody knows it. I know what I'm talking about. I get confused with the terminology. Okay?
Sure. Okay.
It's not my fault that I forgot that Anakin actually drives the USS Enterprise, you know? Like, it's not my fault that I forgot that.
Going into this meme, huh?
Anywho. The Jawas are in the past. They are not in the prequels. They are in the very first Star Wars. That's what I was thinking of. I know what you mean, though.
The difference here is that we actually have crystal clear picture quality. And so you can't just rely on the shadows to cover their face. There are some shots where you can kind of see the black cloth that's covering their face with the eyes. And I think that's probably what you're talking about. But I think overall it looks really good.
No, yeah. I enjoyed it. Like you, I enjoyed the first episode more than the second episode. However, I didn't dislike the second episode.
Agreed.
I do think this is interesting, though. So, in the Star Wars universe, you know, when people are hit by blasters, a lot of time they get, you know, holes in them and stuff, right? It's like a regular gun.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Mandalorian's gun kind of like just vaporizes them.
Well, there's different ones. And I was going to say, I think this is the first time we've seen... anyone be disintegrated in Star Wars.
Yeah.
I mean, because that was like his sniper rifle.
Yeah.
His smaller gun just hits him. like normal.
No, yeah, and I realized that. I was just, when I first saw it, I was like, I had to think back. I was like, they don't all do that, right? Like, no.
No. No.
Hmm.
All right.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say really quick. One of my favorite side characters, just a funny thing, is basically the taxi driver in the first episode when they're on the ice and he goes away. He's like, watch out. And then, you know, he drives away and then you just see that giant thing come out and like swallow it. I was like, oh my goodness. He was really funny.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. I think that's enough about The Mandalorian, unless you've got anything pressing.
No.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
We have spoken.
Indeed, we have spoken.
All right.
Oh, do you think he's going to take his helmet off ever?
Eventually.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, I was just curious.
Eventually.
Okay.
We might not actually see his face, but the helmet will come off.
Ah, so it's going to be like a Master Chief kind of thing.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Anyways, moving on. Thoughts on Disney Plus?
Yeah. Disney Plus is great. There's not as much on it as I thought there was going to be completely honest, because I was actually able to scroll through all of the movies and all the series. So I saw like pretty much everything that's on there. I guess I thought there was going to be a little bit more on launch. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty. There's a lot. But it's not of the scope that Netflix was, which is kind of what I thought they were going to have.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little disappointed with Disney Plus. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
And it's not for the content, right? There's several different basic functions that Disney Plus should have that it doesn't.
Okay, like what?
You know, for example, there's not a spot to see which episodes on which series you've actually watched, right? So you have to keep up with it. There's not a, you know, resume this episode like where you left off. And you can't see where you've left off. You know.
No, it resumes you.
No. So it resumes you. However, you have to remember which episode you were on, and it doesn't show you which ones you're only like halfway through and which ones you fully watched. So like, you know, on Netflix you go and it's like, oh, you know, 25 minutes in or something like that. On this you don't know. You have to be like, oh, which episode was I on? Scroll through them. If you click on the wrong one, it starts you from the beginning. You have to like keep going, you know. I'm not a huge fan of that. I hope they add something where the current shows that you're watching are maybe on the home screen, so you don't have to go through everything and find them.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like a currently watching list.
Mm-hmm.
I do really like how you can request different shows and stuff to be on there.
Oh, can you?
Yeah. You go on there and there's a little tab on the left side and you can click on it and you can actually submit a movie or a TV show that you want on Disney Plus.
Oh, that's interesting. You just type it in?
Yeah.
I wonder how many things they're going to get. And they're like, we don't even own this.
Yeah. They're like, maybe we can just buy it. It's fine. We'll just buy it.
I put Star Trek on here.
Yeah.
Where's Batman v Superman?
This is not the service I paid for. Yeah. So, and then, like, we have already talked about this a little bit. I'm kind of disappointed all the MCU movies are not on there, but like you said, they already have pre-existing deals with other streaming services, so that's understandable. Eventually, they will have them all.
I think they're all going to be filtering in within the first year.
It's going to be interesting. I saw something that said, actually, the Spider-Man movies will not be coming. Since it's a Marvel-Sony deal... Sony's actually going to put it on a different streaming service.
Yeah, I saw that. I haven't done any research into it, but I could totally see how that would be the case.
Yeah, I wonder if, you know, Disney's going to try to push to have that, because it would really stink to have, you know, your entire movie collection and only be missing 2-3 movies.
Yeah, although that said, I think they're standalone enough that you don't have to have them to understand everything else.
True. I really like, one of the sections I've been watching, you know, quite a bit of is the Spider-Verse section.
Yeah.
You know, they have a lot of Spider-Man properties on there. A lot of different, you know, and a big fan, you know, a lot of it from my like childhood. I remember watching like on Cartoon Network and stuff. And several different things that were like in the depths of my mind that I didn't know I've seen before. And I started watching, I was like, whoa, I remember this.
Yeah. Know? I've had that experience before.
Yeah. So they do have a lot of content. I'm excited for them to add some more. I'm going to be honest. The main reason I got Disney Plus, the main reason is for the MCU shows. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian was also pretty high up there.
Yeah. For me, it was the Marvel shows and the Mandalorian.
However, saying that, I am excited to see a few other movies. I'm kind of sad Toy Story 4 is not on there. I would have thought it would have been on there by now.
Is Toy Story 4 even out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
On disc?
I think. I could be wrong.
Let's see.
It came out during the summer.
Well, I've still got theaters near me that are playing it.
What in the world? It came out in the summer.
Let's see. This came out. It did come out over the summer. It was June.
Yep, it's on disc. I just looked it up. Target, Best Buy, Walmart, eBay. Yeah. It's out on Blu-ray, it's out on DVD 1 month ago.
Interesting.
So I would have thought that they would have had it because they have Toy Story 1 through 3, but they don't have 4.
So, look at how some of the... Okay. Yeah, it sounds like there might be a delay for new movies about when they appear on there, which makes sense, so that you'll see them in the theater maybe about 8 months.
Yeah, maybe they still have some deals going. You know, if theaters are still watching it, that means they can potentially still earn money from it. They wouldn't want to put it on a streaming service where they're not getting extra funds like they would be in theaters.
Yeah, although disc, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, some of the stuff you talked about does suck. I will agree with some of that. My biggest complaint with it, I haven't really watched a long series yet, so I haven't run into the where am I, but my biggest complaint is you can add things to your watch list, but you can't take them off.
You can't take them off?
No. So if you add something to your watch list, so you know when you click add to watch list, it turns from the plus to a check, right? If you go back to that thing, it's not a check that you can click to make it back into the plus. It's just the plus again. And if you click it again, it just like, it doesn't do anything. If anything, it doesn't do anything. So like, it doesn't make any sense. And in the off chance that it does take it off, which I was experimenting with that when they were having issues, but I've tried it since and it doesn't. If it does take it off, then it doesn't make sense either because you're clicking it and it checks again. So that is messed up. Because like I don't want all that stuff on my watch list.
Maybe you have to watch it, and once you watch it, it goes off.
No, because I've watched stuff that's on my watch list.
Like all of it?
Yeah. So there is some stuff like that. I will say I really like their collections feature.
Oh, yes.
Where if you go under search, it'll have different collections that you can click on. That's really cool. I think that their brands screens are really nice, like the Marvel brand or the Pixar brand, stuff like that. I think overall it's really good. It was having some issues on launch day, but they actually really buttoned those up by the time I got home from work, and it was working really, really well. I was very impressed with that. I thought it was going to have problems all day. I think there's definitely more content to come. I think they launched with a large amount of stuff, but their library is so vast that it's going to take years to get everything on there. And, you know, new stuff will still have to wait for stuff to expire. But overall, it's good. I am happy with it. I cannot wait for more original content, though, because I've liked a lot of the original content that's on there.
Yeah, me too. I did see some... there was two things that I was going to say, and I forgot the first thing, which sucks. But the second thing, I did see that some data miners, you know, went in and were looking at some things. Apparently, some of the movies and stuff on there already have an expiration date written in, which is really interesting. that they would have already put those in and not waited to see, you know, what was being watched and what wasn't. I mean, they'll pretty fall out. I saw six of them. I don't remember what movies they were and what shows. However, one was like 2023, 2024, you know, around there. But it's interesting that they've already added expiration dates.
Yeah. That does remind me of one other big issue that it has, is some of the information in the system is wrong. Like, I saw a tweet from Dan Slott, who was the writer of Spider-Man in the comics for like 10 years. Something small like the Spider-Woman series that's on there, it's her, the name of the show is right in the actual show, but on the screen, it's spelled slightly wrong. It doesn't have the dash, and there's, the woman isn't capitalized. The Spider-Man show from the 90s, Spider-Man the Animated Series, that is out of order. Mm-hmm. The first episode they have listed is from like season four, three or four.
Yep.
And it also says that it's from 95, and it's not. It's from 94. So I've seen some issues like that across. That, I think, is actually the biggest issue in the entire platform right now. Because if you're trying to watch something all the way through, you can't trust it anymore. Now you have to pull out your phone and look up what the episode order is and try to match things up. And that's just a pain.
Yeah. No, I agree. I hope they get everything, all the kinks, you know, worked out soon. I think they will, because like you said, they figured out those ones in that one day within a few hours. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't gone through everything quite yet. It's going to be interesting to see if they add... Oh, I think they already have. Isn't The Simpsons on there?
Yeah, it's on there.
So there's been some complaints about The Simpsons because they're changing some stuff about it. And there's been complaints because it's not like the original property anymore now. There's lots of like different things. I don't know. I don't really watch The Simpsons, but apparently they changed a lot of stuff about it. But it's going to be interesting to see if they add more like Fox stuff on there, like Fox movies. You know, you think they would to try to bring more people in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not sure.
I mean, there is some Fox stuff on there already. I think that they are probably at this point going to go by what people are requesting. And my gut says that most of what people are going to be requesting is Disney stuff.
Yeah, I could see that. I wonder if they're going to add, though, you know, I think it'd be cool to start bringing in some, you know, like Alien and Predator.
No, they won't have that on there. They've got a hard PG-13 cap for all content on Disney Plus.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they do. All other content like that is going to Hulu.
Oh, I do remember you saying that now. Hmm. Interesting. So, oh, that's weird. That means all the... Wow. So Deadpool won't be on there.
No, it won't.
Weird. That's something I kind of wish they change. I think it'd be cool if... I wish they would add, you know, some Fox properties and some Disney movies that are rated R. However... have a parental control, right? So if you don't want those to be on them, be able to set a password or something to be able to only show PG-13 and under movies and exclude the rated R movies.
Yeah, but part of the Disney brand is being family friendly. And even if you can set parental controls, like some parents still have reservations about giving their child complete access to that. Whereas if it's not on there at all, you know? Plus, they've got that deal where you can get Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN for like $13 a month or something. And then you'd have Hulu, which is completely separate.
That's true. Yeah, I'm a student, so I get Hulu for like $4 a month right now. And Spotify Premium. So, that's nice. I was looking at some of the cost, you know, because now I'm paying for three different streaming services.
Yep.
And I was just looking at it, and Disney, I don't have to really worry about. I paid for it for 3 years, so I don't really have to worry about that one for a while. But I just got an email that my DC streaming platform is about to be billed again, which stinks. However, it is nice because since I applied the first year, they're giving first year users a discount. So instead of $75, I'm going to get it for $59.
Oh, nice.
Which is really nice. I think that's really cool. You know, give existing customers a discount. I like that. And I think they're probably doing that to try to stay competitive, honestly. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting because you have HBO Max coming out, Hulu, DC, Comcast has like a streaming one. Man, we talked about that in an episode, I remember.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of coming to fruition, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I may have to make some decisions coming up.
We might all have to, Jacob. And on that day, we will be sad.
And the crappy thing is, the only reason I'm keeping the DC streaming one is for Titans. That's literally the only reason.
I thought you were going to say you were getting rid of it, and then I was going to say, no, I'm not finished.
No. I'm keeping it. The only reason I am keeping it is because of Titans, though. Now, they're adding some more, which is supposedly going to be really, really good. However, for now, that's the only reason I'm keeping it, because Titans is really good.
Yeah, it is.
Anyways, this is about Disney, not DC.
But, Jacob, I think that's all I've got to say. I think that's all you've got to say. Which means that was that, and this. It's time for what you've been up to. So, in the roughly 9 minutes that we have left, what have you been up to, Jacob?
Yes, I'm going to take all 9 minutes so you don't have any time.
No!
Just kidding. Okay, so, So we're recording this on Sunday. Tomorrow, I have a presentation. Tuesday, I have an exam. Wednesday, I have an exam. Thursday, I have an exam and a research paper due. So
you've been doing school.
Studying. So that's really about it.
Nice.
Yeah, like after this, I probably should go study. However, I'm probably going to go to the gym and then play some games because I've been studying all day and my brain is fried.
Yep, understand that.
So I haven't really been doing much. I have been playing a lot of the new Modern Warfare. It is fantastic. I finished the story a couple weeks ago. I don't think I said that, but the story was really, really, really good. I'm excited to see what they have coming out. The special ops on it kind of suck, not gonna lie. It's the one thing I'm really disappointed with. Caleb, you've played the original, like, Modern Warfare 2 and 3, right?
I've played 2.
Okay, so I don't remember if 2 had it. Did 2 have special ops?
It did, like the single player kind of missions or the co-op missions?
Yeah, the co-op missions where... Yeah. So this is what I thought. That was one of my favorite things about Modern Warfare, right? You know, you could sit local or online. You could go through these story-like missions with a teammate, and you try to complete them as fast as possible to get a higher star ranking. I was really excited for that. They got rid of that on this. They have special ops, however... One of them is just survival, which is exclusive to PS4 for a year, which is really unique. The other one is called Classic Special Ops, which I was like, oh yeah, the missions. It's not. It's just basically you're hounded with hundreds of guys. It's like survival, but hardcore. And then the last one, they're all 4 missions, but they're not even like missions. The maps are so big. It's like open world and... There's way too many enemies to even complete them. There's like 7 juggernauts on each one. I'm really disappointed. And everybody that I've talked to has been disappointed. So I really hope they add missions because that's what I was excited for.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. Anywho, since we've already talked about Star Wars also, Fortnite is doing a Star Wars crossover right now, which is pretty cool. They've added the Imperial Stormtrooper outfit that you can get. And also there's a Star Destroyer way up in the sky.
Oh, that's cool.
I think what they're going to do, what I hope they do, is that as the release of Rise of Skywalker comes out, you know, as we get closer, I think that ship in the sky is going to get closer and closer and closer, which is really cool. And then they're going to have like a game mode where it's like Stormtroopers versus like Jedi or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. That's what they've done for events in the past. Sometimes they have something big that gets that closer, you know, towards when an event comes closer. Also, if you purchase the new game, which I forgot, it's Jedi Fallen or something like...
Fallen Order.
If you purchase the new game, you get that Stormtrooper outfit for free, which is cool. I think I'm going to go buy that game. Or maybe ask for it for Christmas.
Cool.
Ooh. Anyways, so yeah, that's what I've been up to. What have you been up to?
Well, I've been playing a little bit more Breath of the Wild. I played just a little bit before I jumped on here. I'm basically at the point where I can finish the game, but I ended up getting the DLC because I didn't want to finish the game. So I've been working my way through that. I just did some of the toughest shrines in the game from the DLC. Basically, you go to this place and you get this weapon that one-shots enemies, but enemies can also one-shot you.
Wow.
And you have to go to four different places and clear out all the enemies without dying. Well, I mean, you can die a little bit, but you have to clear out all the enemies and then do these four shrines that appear as you clear them out. And they're all very difficult, but I just finished that. So now I think I can go and do some stuff with the Divine Beast now, which is cool. So I'm looking forward to that. After I do that, I'm going to finish it because I'm ready to finish that out. The other thing I have been doing, which is the bigger thing, is I did get Jedi Fallen Order, and I've been playing that.
No way.
Yes, I did.
Is it fun?
Yes, it is fun. So I had seen some of the early stuff that they brought out, and I hadn't watched too much of the newer stuff, really not much since E3 this year. And, you know, when they first released it, it looked kind of like an on-rails action-adventure game, like not that special. It is not. I don't know. I've heard rumors that EA was kind of trying to bury this game because it messes with their whole stance on microtransactions and all kinds of stuff, multiplayer stuff anyway. But the marketing has not been good, a good representation of what this game is. It is really, really fun. It is kind of a combination of Uncharted, Dark Souls, I guess mostly those two. It's like a combination of those two. It's got a lot of the platformer kind of parkour elements of Uncharted, which doesn't seem like it would fit in a Star Wars game, but it actually works really well. In the combat, while I haven't played Dark Souls, I kind of have an idea. It's not as hard as Dark Souls, but it's very much thoughtful combat. Like, if you go in and you start swinging stuff, you're going to die. Like, you've kind of got to think about things a little bit, which is nice. It is level-based, but it's also got a little bit of Mass Effect in there, in the fact of its levels, how its levels work. You can go to different planets in different orders, and that planet is a level, but it's massive. Like, it's a whole region. Like, I've done the opening part, kind of like the prologue, and then, like, the first level, and I finished the first area. But when I was done, I continued exploring instead of leaving. And I'm in like a whole other section now that like is it feels like a completely different level, but it's not. It's still in the same place. So the worlds are very open. I don't think there's very many force powers in the game. From what I can tell, there are three basic ones. Force push, force pull, and then a slow option to slow your enemies down. And you only start with a slow one. You have to unlock push, which I've done. I guess you have to unlock pull because I don't have that one yet. But it's pretty interesting. It kind of delves into some canon things that we know, but like explains it more. It feels very grounded. I'm really, really liking it. It's very good.
So. So these different worlds, do they have like levels on how hard the enemies are?
Well, to be honest, I've only visited one world that I have the option to so far. So I can't exactly answer that. There's no gauge to show you that they're harder in one world than they are in the other. I will say my friend got it and he went. So when you first get the options to go to a different world, you can choose between two. And he went to a different one than I did first, and he left because he said it was too hard. So I'm guessing that some of them are harder than others.
Okay. All right. I was just one thing that I really don't like about, you know, things such as Destiny is that some worlds are so hard, but like you need to go there to get like a good piece of armor or something so you can continue with the story. But the enemies are so hard and you can't beat them.
It's not like that.
Okay, good. Good, good, good.
No,
good.
And like you can customize things, but the things that you customize they don't really have anything to do with your damage and stuff that you do. They're more aesthetic things. Like you can customize your lightsaber, you can customize the way you look, you can customize your ship.
Oh, that's cool.
But really, all enhancements to your damage and how much damage you can take all come through upgrades, okay. which you get by spending action points, which you get by killing things.
Does it have like an Old Republic feel?
No, I wouldn't say that. Okay. I don't have a good comparison for it in that respect. Like, it does the Dark Souls thing of, instead of shrines like you have in Dark Souls, you have meditation points, I think is what they call them. And you can go into it. Every time you go into one of those, you can heal. If you heal, all the enemies respawn. Every time you kill an enemy, you get points that go towards action points. So, theoretically, you could have all of your power-ups unlocked fairly early in the game if you just sat around and farmed. But those make the game easier, but not drastically easier. Like, that's kind of the thoughtful combat part of it. Okay. Where you kind of have to think about things. And there is also an element of, like, a Metroidvania-style game where, as you unlock new powers, you can go back to areas you've already been, and there's places that you can get to now that you couldn't before.
That makes sense.
And the one thing about that I really like is on the map, they will mark those points for you. You don't have to do anything.
Oh, that's nice.
In fact, it'll even tell you, oh, here's a spot that I can get to that I didn't, and here's a spot that I can't get to yet. But when I come back later, it'll be green, so I know that I can get to it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I've probably played 4 to 5 hours of it so far.
Man, well, looks like I'm not waiting till Christmas.
Awesome. Yeah. But that's all I got.
Well, you know who's a really good Force user?
Would it be Mr. Pool?
It would be Mr. Pool, because he's really good at the Force Pool.
Oh.
So you guys should go ahead and go check him out, Taylor Pool. He did our intro music and outro music, and we love it. You can check him out at taylorpoolmusic.com. That's TAYLORPOOLEmusic.com.
Also, please go check out our friends over at the CNC Power Hour, where they stream Magic the Gathering and video games throughout the week on Twitch. You can find them at, I believe, twitch.com/CNC Power Hour.
And come to the Nod side, because we got a great website at cuzwonods.com. Caleb did great on it. That's CUZWEOENERDS.com. That's where you can see all of our episodes, and it's the best spot to share the podcast.
Thanks for listening to Cuz We're Nerds. Stay up to date with all the nerdy news and podcast drops by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also leave us comments and feedback at cuzwernerds@gmail.com. That's CUZWERENERDS@gmail.com. And as always, if you enjoy this podcast, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. We'll see you next week. And as always, stay nerdy. All right, so Jacob, if you could customize your own lightsaber, what color would it be?
Okay, so this is definitely very easy for me. I don't want to give away if I'm bad or good, right? Because I'd probably play right on the edge. You know, I'm not evil. However, I'm not good. Each situation requires its own answer. So I'd go with like a good mixture between red and blue. You know, like a
green?
A brown. Oh.
Isn't red and blue green?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, probably. I don't know. No, I'd choose one where I could like click a button and it would change the colors. You know, like for what mood I'm in.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I'd have a double sided lightsaber. Oh. One side red, one side blue.
Red and blue makes purple.
Ah, well then I'm Mace Windu. Oh, I knew that because that's yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd go for either an orange or a yellow myself.
Ooh, okay. All right, now what like shape would your lightsaber be? Like the traditional?
No, mine would look menacing. Mine would be longer than normal.
Okay.
Still only a single blade, and it would have prongs, some kind of prongs that come out from the emitter that kind of are over the blade towards the bottom of the blade.
Okay. Now mine, you're going to love mine. You ready for this? So mine's kind of like Kylo Ren's lightsaber, right? However, at the bottom where the side blades come out, those aren't blades. That's actually a blaster, right? Right? So as like I'm fighting, if I see someone coming up behind me, I can just raise my lightsaber, click the button, and a blast shoots out at them. I mean, that's pretty genius to me.
3 days later, someone walks up. What happened to him? He shot himself while he was swinging his lightsaber around.
Yeah, I could totally see that happening. Also, I have one last thing to say, and then I'm donezo. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, so there was a movie, Caleb, that Nicolas Cage is reportedly in talks to be in. And you want to know what this movie is about, Caleb?
Tell me.
Nicolas Cage will be playing none other than Nicolas Cage, trying to land a movie in a new Quentin Tarantino movie played by Quentin Tarantino.
This is genius casting.
Right? That's what I'm saying. I couldn't think of anybody better.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's a very meta movie.
Yeah. I mean, I'd watch it, though.
I mean, yeah. But how do you act as yourself? You know, like, you can't be yourself because that's not acting.
You just do.
Mm. Do or do not, there is no try?
Exactly.